Okay, for a message this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 for a text verse. God says in verse 19, Deuteronomy chapter 30, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Titled the message this morning, The Freedom to Choose. The Freedom to Choose. And God is imploring us and begging us here to choose life. You know, I had to wonder how that was for God. When God created Adam and Eve, created man, he says he created us in his image, that how was that for God to give man the freedom to choose and to just leave it up to us to choose whatever we will? And he had to be fair, he had to set forth life, but also death, and give us the freedom, the ability to choose death if we will. How does that, I wonder how that feels and how that looks to God, a God that is love, when he knows that when we have right and wrong, we have love and we have hate, we have good, we have evil, we have life, and we have death. And you could make a whole list of things that we have choices in, a lot of gray areas even, especially maybe more so in our day than ever. And God knows that we have a smorgasbord of things to choose from, but he gives us that freedom to choose. How does that feel to God? I don't know. 1 Corinthians 10:13, speaking of temptation, you know, when we have temptation, we're faced with temptation, there's always choice. We have the freedom to choose to yield to the temptation, to do the thing that looks tempting to us, or to resist that temptation and turn away. Proverbs writer says something about that, you know, avoid it. Pass not by it. Don't even come close to it. And Daniel had purpose in his heart that he would not sin against God. So many times, you know, purposing in our heart is not enough. We need more. We need a connection with God. But it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He never exceeds our ability, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. So when we do yield to temptation, whose fault is it? It's always our fault, isn't it? Because God provided the way. God gave the ability through his Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, the strength, the power that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. He always gives us the ability, makes the way clear, or makes the way, provides the way, is what I'm trying to say, provides the way for us to escape the temptation, to not even come close to it, to avoid it, to pass by it. You know, when Adam and Eve were there in the Garden of Eden, God had said, of all these trees in the garden, you can eat. But there's one tree here in the middle of the garden. You shall not eat of it, because in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Adam and Eve had the freedom to choose. God gave them that freedom to choose. God could have created them like robots, you know, to where they would have just done what he said, and would have just eaten of the fruit of the other trees, and they would have eaten of the fruit of the tree of life and would have lived forever in that state as robots. But he didn't. He created them and gave them the freedom to choose. And he said, but don't eat of that tree. If they eat of that, you shall surely die. Adam and Eve chose to eat of that fruit of the tree and disobeyed God. The Bible tells us that Eve was deceived, but that Adam was not. Now, I'm not sure to understand all that, but that's what the Bible says. So they ate of the tree and they died. Spiritually, they died. And here we are today, born with that carnal nature, that sinful nature. And God says, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And now we have choices ahead of us today. What do we do with that? What do we do with the sin? What do we do with the carnality, the proneness that we have to sin? We have choices. And God is imploring us in our text verse, choose life, that you and your seed may live. That is his will, his desire for us. God spoke to Noah in his day, and he said, I want you to build me an ark, a big boat. And the way I understand the Bible, it had never rained. You know, you could imagine the mocking and things that Noah probably went through when people found out that he was going to build a boat that had never rained. I mean, you're crazy, you're nuts. What's wrong with you? But Noah chose to do everything that God told him to do, and he built the ark. Was he going by faith or by sight? He was going by faith. And he's listed in the faith chapter. We have a whole list there in that in Hebrews 11 of people who chose, had the freedom to choose, and they chose to walk in faith, not by sight. Abraham, God came to him in his day. He said, leave your country. Go to a country I'm going to show you. You know, today if somebody was leaving, they didn't know where they're going, we'd say you're crazy. There's something wrong with you. But Abraham went in faith. And God had promised that in Isaac, your seed will be in Isaac. But then he told Abraham, take Isaac out to this mountain I'm going to show you and offer him up, sacrifice him up to me. Again, Abraham went in faith. He chose to believe God. The Bible says that his faith was imputed to him for righteousness. He chose to believe God. He chose to go out. Joseph, when he was sold as a slave into Egypt, he chose to serve God. Even when he was falsely accused and he was thrown into prison, he chose to serve God. He chose to believe God. He had the freedom to choose. He could have pouted in prison. He said, God, why do you do this to me? I didn't do anything wrong, and I'm in prison. No, he chose to serve God. You think he was tempted? I'm sure he probably was. He was human just like we are. In devotions, we heard about Samson, some of the choices that he made, and Ruth, the choices that she made. And the rewards of Ruth's choices and the consequences of Samson's choices. Choices have consequences. As I mentioned earlier, we have the sin question because of sin. We have sinned. You know, we like to say, well, they sinned when we talk about Adam and Eve. But if they wouldn't have, I would have. Probably would have. Probably, you know, sure I would have. So we have sinned. We have the sin question. We look at Psalm 40. In the horrible pit, in the miry clay, stuck in there and no way out, we have a choice. We can accept deliverance or we can accept to just stay in the horrible pit. We can choose. We have the choice. We have the freedom to choose. In Luke 23, we read the account of the two thieves that were crucified, one on either side of Jesus, and the choices they had, the freedom to choose. The one despised Jesus. He railed on him, it says in the King James Version. He railed on Jesus. He blasphemed is another word that could be used there. If you're really the Christ, save yourself and us. But the guy on the other side, he said, we have sinned. This man hasn't done anything wrong. We deserve our punishment, he was saying. And then he turned to Jesus and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom." And Jesus turned to him with those blessed words, "Today you will be with me in paradise." I love it. The difference. And we don't read of anything of any repentance of the other thief. Seems to me that would have spoke to him. But maybe his mind was made up. He had the freedom to choose. Judas, when he betrayed Jesus, had a choice to make. He went to the temple. He threw the money on the floor. Said, "I have sinned that I have betrayed innocent blood." The religious leaders of the day said, "What is that to us? See out of that. Big deal." He went out and he hung himself. When Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and Jesus turned and he looked at him, it says Peter went out and he wept bitterly. 2 men, opposite choices. The freedom to choose. They both had the choice. Judas would have had the choice, had the freedom to choose repentance. But he chose not to. How is it with us today? So many times we see things in life that we might think are good for us. And I thought of that last Sunday night at our church activity. I was sitting across the table from Evelyn. She was holding little Caden. And she gave him a slice of apple. And, of course, he went right for his mouth with that thing. And I think she was afraid he would get a piece broke off or would, you know, choke himself on it. So she took it away from him. And of course, he was desperately trying to get that apple. And then she took her spoon and she cut a little piece off and she put it on the table. And her hand had this big apple in, this big slice in it. And that's all Caden could see. His little hands were going for that big slice. And she had, you know, point to the little apple piece on the table. And then he would get that. And he would eat it. But then he'd go for that big apple again. You know, so many times in life, we're just like that. We think that the thing out there, the big thing out there is good for us when God wants us to be content with the little things, the things that are actually good for us. And we have the freedom to choose in those. We have the freedom to believe God or not to believe God. God gives us that freedom to walk by faith or try to walk by sight. This morning at 2 a.m., my wife and I were brought from a sound sleep, you know, abruptly, harshly, by this Amber Alert that went off. You know, both of our phones, one on each side of the bed, you know, blared out this Amber Alert. Well, I had choices to make. You know, to be disgruntled and angry that I was woke up from a sound sleep, and I'm going to have to get up an hour earlier this morning because of time change. Or, and I give credit to God for this, I can thank God that my children were not in danger. And I could just pray for the ones who were involved in looking for these children. You know, there's always, no matter how bad the situation is, there's always some to be thankful for. And we have the freedom to choose. We can look for all the negative things we want to look for, we can look for all the positive things, the blessings that God has for us. And it makes such a difference in our lives when we choose God, when we choose Jesus Christ, we choose to trust, we choose to bless God and praise God, even in the midst of being woke up in the middle of the night. You know, there's a purpose in everything. The Bible says all things work together for good to those who love God. Well, I love God, and I want to love Him more. So I know that whatever God allows into my life is for my good in some way. I may not understand it now, but God knows and God understands. God sees the whole picture. So what God is saying is just trust me. Just give it all to me. In John 1, I'd like to read the first 16 verses, St. John 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Maybe I should read verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We'll stop there. I'd like to really focus on verse 9. That was the true light. Speaking of Jesus Christ, was a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Would God be just if every person would not be given the freedom, the choice to choose Jesus Christ? I think the answer to that is no. And God is just. He says here that Jesus lights every man that comes into the world. Every person that is ever born comes to the age of accountability is given the freedom to choose or reject Jesus Christ. And that is the basis of our salvation, is our rejection or our acceptance of Jesus Christ. Accepting Jesus Christ, as the Bible says in John, in a couple chapters later, if we believe, we are not condemned. But he that doesn't believe, or in other words, rejects Jesus Christ, is condemned already. Because light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. And they rejected the light. Because their deeds were evil, they wanted to continue their sin. They wanted to do the things they wanted to do. And they chose sin over Jesus Christ. They chose death over life. The choice is ours. So, this morning, no matter what the walk of life, the scripture is saying here that that person is given life. It's like Jesus comes down to the bleary-eyed drunk in the gutter, and he lights him. He gives him life. He gives him a choice between life or death. A continuation in the life of alcoholism. The continuation in the life of drugs. Or a life that is set free. A life of deliverance. The choice. And it doesn't matter. You know, the adulterer, the fornicator, the blasphemer, the atheist. They are all lit with this light it's talking about here. The doctor, the nurse, the lawyer, the CPA, the day laborer, the bank teller. The soldier, the king, the queen, the princess, the prince. Everyone is given this choice. The president, his wife, his children. The congressman, the senator. The Buddhist, the Hindu, the Muslim, the Catholic. The professing Christian. The one that is professing to be a Christian, but is not born again. Jesus comes, he lights him, and he says, choose me. There is more to it than just professing to be a Christian. It is something that happens from within. The professing Christian that is born again, but is maybe living in the bondage of corruption, enslaved to fear. Jesus says, comes to him and he says, choose me. I have a life of deliverance for you. I am here to set you free. You don't have to be a slave to sin. To fear anymore. You don't have to be. And to the one who is not born again, you don't have to be a slave to sin. You can be set free. You have the freedom to choose. You have the power to choose. You know, when we take the professing Christian that is born again, who is bound by this pain, by this fear, whatever it is that is binding and holding him back and keeping him from being the person that God has called him to be, Jesus comes and says, choose me. And so many times we are bound by that pain, by that fear, because we have a wrong perception, perspective of who God is, of who Jesus Christ is. And God says, I am the Lord. I don't change. Jesus says, I am Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you. I will carry you. When the water is too deep, I'll carry you. When the way is too rough, I'll carry you. I will provide a way. I will make a way for you. You know, it helps us to make right choices when we view God correctly, when we see him as the God of love that he is, the God of mercy, the God of kindness, the God that draws us with his Holy Spirit. When we learn to identify the voice of Jesus the shepherd, the voice of the Holy Spirit guiding us into truth, comforting us, it helps us to make right choices. It helps us to really choose the freedom that God has for us. You know, God is faithful. God is always right. God never makes any mistakes. God is truth. God's ways are perfect. God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. He is an awesome God. He is all wise and all knowing. And yet he cares for us intimately, dearly. As dear children, it says in one place in the Bible. You know, our feelings are so fickle. And so many times we choose based on our feelings, what we feel. And Satan knows our trigger points. He feeds those feelings. That thing of, I can't, I'm afraid, it hurts too much. He feeds on that. But Jesus comes, he lights us, and he says, you can. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He points us to him and his pain on the cross, and he helps us come through that. He replaces doubt with faith. We don't have to understand. We just need to trust. And it will all be okay. Sometimes we might wonder in some of the things that happen to us in life. And here some time ago, I had shared with you the scriptures out of 2 Samuel 24, verse 1, and 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1, where we could ask, does scripture contradict itself? And this has to do with when God, or David, was moved to number the children of Israel. And I'll just read those two verses. In 2 Samuel 24, verse 1, it says, and again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. In 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1, it's the same account now, written in Chronicles instead of Samuel, says, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Is the Bible contradicting itself? No. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And I don't know what was going on here altogether, but David was evidently being lifted up with pride because of the number of people that he had. And in one verse, here it says, anger of the Lord was kindled, and he moved David against them. The other scripture says, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. So what happened here? I like to think of it as God having his hedge around David, just like he had around Job. And God made a hole in that hedge. And he moved Satan to come in and provoke David to number Israel and Judah. Why? What does Romans 8:28 say? Because we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Did this work for David's good? It did. It brought him to repentance of his pride. It brought him back into fellowship, restored him back into the place where God wanted him to be in the first place. Back in 2007, I was going through a rough time in my life. And I've shared this testimony with some of you. Struggling with this thing of the assurance of salvation. Struggling with the church splits that we had gone through in this community, the multiple church settings here. Struggling with depression, resentment, anger, bitterness. And God knew all that. And God saw all that. And I felt like the only way to get away from this was to move out of the community. So my wife and I had been talking about that and praying about that for some time, and we decided to do that. And we looked around and we made a decision to move to Missouri. After we had been in Missouri for about a year, I realized that my assurance of salvation hadn't changed. You know, there were things that changed due to different circumstances that we were in. But yet this struggle of the assurance of salvation was still there. And that's where I called Lowell Filburn at New Beginning, and I asked him, and he just encouraged us to come for counseling. My wife didn't want to go, but he said, just bring her along. So we did. And I praise God for the deliverance. There were a lot of sins and things that in my past that I was struggling to forgive myself for. And by the grace of God, I was able to bring those to Christ and to know that I was forgiven, to know that I was a child of God. And after that, I was like, why did we ever leave Paris? I realized that the problem wasn't here in the community, in the situation, but I took the problem with me. It was all in here. And I felt this desire and this call from God to come back and to minister to the people in this community. And I was asking God, you know, why did we move? And my wife's nephew and his wife came to visit us there in Missouri, and I know this had to have been from God. He left us a tape with a message from the church they were from. And this preacher preached a message on the power to choose. And in there, the only thing I really remember from that message is these two scriptures. And then I knew. That was why. God saw what was in here, and God wanted to deal with that. And it took some drastic measures for God to deal with that. And I'm still on a journey. I haven't attained, like the Apostle Paul says, but I press toward. And I just praise God for the work that he did in me through that. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I am sorry for the pain that I caused the church here and, you know, various ones who were caused heartache by what we did. But I praise God for his goodness and his faithfulness. And I believe that is the answer as to what those two scriptures mean. It helps us to see that sometimes God uses Satan to bring about his purpose. We read about how God hardened Pharaoh's heart. The Bible doesn't say this, but I like to think that God used Satan to harden Pharaoh's heart, to bring about his purpose. Pharaoh also had the freedom to choose, and he chose what he did. And in all this, God was glorified. Just a few verses in closing. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we have the freedom to choose this morning. We can choose sin and death, or we can choose eternal life through Jesus Christ. And let's not say that we haven't been given the opportunity, because that verse in John says, "He lighteth every man that cometh into the world." The last verse I'd like to close with is Revelation 3, verse 20. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." A wonderful invitation. I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens that door, I will come into him. I will have supper with him. I will eat with him, and he with me. We will have fellowship. And it says in John that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with God, with one another, with Jesus Christ. When we open that door, and sometimes it's too shameful, or we think it is. But that lie comes from Satan. Just like the lie to Eve, where he said, "You will not die." Because he said, "You will be like gods, knowing good and evil." He's a liar, and he's still in the lying business today. The Spirit of God will expose Satan for who he is, a liar, a thief, a robber. He's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. When we open that door, Jesus enables us to open it up, to have light, to be delivered. We have the freedom to choose. Let's choose life like God is begging us to. Life in Jesus Christ. Let's kneel and pray.